Good day, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Camposol Investor Call, 11th of November. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there'll be a question-and-answer session. To ask a question during this session, you'll need to press star 11 on your telephone. Please be advised that today's conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Jose Antonio Gomez Bazan, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. Good afternoon, actually. Good evening for the ones in Europe. Thank you for joining. The purpose of this call is to give you an update on Camposol's recent performance and basically give you a view or where we stand from liquidity and leverage perspective, on light on of the recent downgrade by Moody's. But before jumping into details, I just wanted to be point blank and confirm that our business remains strong. And while it has been impacted by exogenous global headwinds, mainly on the supply chain cost side, our outlook is very positive and it's well on track. Liquidity remains very strong. We have around $100 million of fully available committed and uncommitted credit lines. And we have taken into account that our fourth quarter is the strongest cash generating quarter in the company. Historically, the company generates positive cash flow in this quarter. This is a quarter where most of our sales concentrate and also where the highest profitable product is concentrated, blueberries. By the end of Q4, we are looking to reduce the use of short-term lines in approximately $40 million due to the cash flow that I just previously mentioned, but also we're working to increase some extra lines and finish the year with more or less a 50% usage of available lines. Furthermore, for 2023, we are basically taking some actions and also the result of the recent investments of CapEx of the last 3 to 4 years put us in a situation that we are going to reduce CapEx. Most of the CapEx that we needed to invest is already invested in Colombia, in Uruguay, in Chile, in Mexico. Those farms are already planted. So therefore, we are going to reduce our CapEx down to $35 million more or less. That is the maintenance CapEx that all our operations, the old ones and the new ones, require. Because we are going to reduce expansion projects, also that will help us to reduce SG&A by about 10%. That's on a nutshell the summary of the actions that we are taking and the liquidity position on the company. But I would like to go furthermore on the business itself. And the business itself, volume sold revenues in a comparison versus last year, we finished the second quarter numbers, the numbers that you have on your hand, with $152 million in revenue, over 53,000 tons of products sold, and an EBITDA of $23 million. The highest performing crop that we have during this period has been blueberries, where we have approximately twice the volume sold that we have in prior year, with an improved margin for that particular product. And the lowest performing crop on a year-over-year basis was avocado, basically with a 26% reduction in price and some delay on volumes. The key factors impacting profitability at this moment, as of the close of the statements on the second quarter, It is mainly on the logistics side. We have incremental freight costs, ocean freight costs of around $9 million. That's, I would say, is an effect that is being industry-wide in every single reefer usage around the world. We experience this increase on cost. That increase peaked around June 2022, but as we move forward into the year, we're seeing those freight rates coming down. September closed around $8,500 versus the peak of $10,000 per container. We're seeing 2023 further reduction on those rates, perhaps going to $7,500 on average. We reach a peak at the beginning of June 2022, and we are seeing a cost reduction. At the same time, we see a different scenario in which at the beginning of 2022, freight or container availability was scarce. Some growers were fighting for space on vessels, and that is exactly what led to those rate increases. We are looking at 2023 in a totally different scenario where there's enough capacity, and that capacity is leading basically prices down, and we feel very confident that those extra capacity is gonna continue to reduce costs. At the same time, we have incremental cost at destination, mainly due to incremental tracking costs, warehouse costs, lack of labor. We're seeing these costs at the same time, tracking, warehouse, labor going down. That cost on the market was around $8 million, and that is pretty much what we had an impact on the year. If it wouldn't be for this incremental cost, we will have a first half of the year with a significant increase over last year, significant EBITDA increase. We are factoring those. Now, looking forward, the balance of the year, we're seeing that these costs are coming down, but still a little bit higher than prior years. When in any comparison on 2021 versus 2022, we will see that the second half of the year will still carrying some of these ocean freight costs and destination costs, and they will impact the margin, especially on the cost side. As we move toward 2023, we'll see that those factors are gonna affect less and less the result of next year. It's important to mention that business fundamentals are very strong. The volume growth in blueberries is significantly, and we are forecasting a more increase. We're looking at over 20 tons per hectare for next year, coming from prior years on 14 tons per hectare, so that's an increase. Also increasing yields on everything that we have invested in Colombia, Uruguay, Chile, and Mexico. On liquidity and leverage, the impact on our margin coming down has definitely increased the ratio. By the end of the second quarter 2022, we are closing the second quarter with a leverage of around 4.56. We keep our target by the end of 2023 to reduce the leverage down to 3.5. That's the main long-term goal for the company, and that's what we're looking by the end of next year. That's why we're taking certain measurements in order to go into that direction. Digging deeper into the ratio that we have right now, it's clear that the increase of the factors explained are impacting our EBITDA. Basically, that's the main driver that has impacted our leverage ratio, but not necessarily more debt. Our debt as of June 2022 was around $519 million, and mainly is bonds, $344 million, some bank loans of around $10 million, some $90 million on lease liabilities, and $145 million in working credit lines. As I mentioned at the beginning, we're working towards increasing lines, reducing the usage with the cash generated on the fourth quarter, and probably have or finish the year with a 50% usage of available lines. We believe our CapEx needs are fairly aligned and timely by our cash flow generation, thus reducing the need for further debt. And this is the reason why next year the CapEx will be around 35, maximum tops $40 million. While our own operating cash flow generated through the year is our main source of liquidity, we also have credit lines to support our growth, and our total short-term credit lines are able to support our operation. We have been already in touch with bank lenders, and these are short-term credit lines that are currently renewed. We have with Rabo Bank until October, and we're working very close with them. We would like to secure a couple of lines for next year with the banks are working in, just to make sure that we have enough availability in case we need it. Some credit lines have already been renewed during the next, or are gonna be renewed during the next month, and we're confident we will finalize the renewal process with the remaining ones that we have. And in addition to renewing our credit lines, we will continue looking for additional committed credit lines as a potential backup. On the rating actions and the consequence that we have on the bond, and that's the reason for this call, we respect the rating action taken by Moody's. It is not our place to give an opinion here on the actions taken by Moody's, nor on the price. Our bonds are trading in the secondary market, although we believe those letters are a little bit low. But we are respectful on the opinion of the market, and we will do everything in our power to turn the situation around. Our job is to continue working on improving the operational and profitability at Camposol, and we will work very hard to turn this situation around as soon as possible. So as I mentioned, actions to improve cash flow is a significant CapEx reduction. We normally are running the company around $70 to $80 million of CapEx. Next year is going to be half of that. We already identify efficiencies on SG&A of around 10%. And also, we're working with the factors on the logistics side to reduce shipping rates. And that's pretty much from the operational side. Also, days of outstanding payment has increased to 64 days compared to 59 in the Q3 of prior year. And that's also given some incremental liquidity. So that's what we like to share with you. And at this moment, before going into question and answer, I had a previous conversation with certain investors, and they were curious about the health of the market in terms of how the market, no Camposol sells, but the market is moving. And I just want to share with you that in the first three quarters of the year, the U.S. market, the sales of blueberries has increased around 5%. So it went from 239,000 metric tons to 293,000 metric tons versus prior year. And the more important, the sales on the retail channel, that is the one that captured the most value, has increased 6%. So a little bit more than the overall market, from 157,000 metric tons to 167,000 metric tons. So we see a market that is it's healthy in terms of demand. Prices on Peruvian avocados, prices on blueberries from Peru, I will say they have been mostly impacted because of a short-term decision on the industry of moving volumes from Europe into North America, given the incentive that we had with a very high avocado price around April, around 100% higher than prior, and also an important reduction on the perspective for the pricing in Europe due to the currency punishment that we have seen in euro versus dollar. So those two things move a lot of volume from Europe into North America, and we do not expect this to happen next year, or if it happens, it will be a little bit more coordinated than this year. So those are, in a nutshell, what happened with price. At this moment, we're open to questions.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 11 on your telephone. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A roster. Okay, our first question will come from, one moment. We have a question from Alonso Mesa. Your line is open.
Great. Hi, Jose Antonio. Thanks for the call. I have a couple of questions. First, I would like to know how much cash in hand Camposol currently has and how much in undrawn credit lines.
Hi, Alonso. It's Milagritos here. We have in cash $35 million at this moment. And could you repeat me the other question, please?
Yeah, I wanted to know also how much in undrawn credit lines.
Okay, we have a free credit card credit line for $105 million at this time.
$400 million that are available.
Yes, it's not
using
at this time.
And
$100 million is not using at this time.
And you are planning to end the year with that amount also available? I think you mentioned you were planning to end the year with a 50% usage.
Yes, let me further explain that. So right now we have roughly $290 million in lines. We have used 185, and we have available around $100 million. So the usage is around 65%, more or less. We're working towards adding $30 million more. So the total lines by the end of the year should be around 320 or so. And at the same time, the cash flow that we're using from our fourth quarter, we're going to use it to pay the 185 down, and we anticipate that we will go to 145 around that. So the ratio by the end of the year, if we increase the lines available and we reduce the usage of the short term, it's going to be around 50-50. At the same time, just to further comment on that, we're working on moving some of the short term into long term. That's a line for around $40 million. And also, we have built a water reservoir this year, and we use around $15 million to build that water reservoir. We are moving that into a lease. Is going to put that asset into the correct, you know, finance structure.
Right. Thanks for the clarification. Then, are you planning to use the dividend basket this year?
We already pay dividends in April. $35 million. We are not planning to use to pay any dividend this year.
Great, thanks.
One moment for our next question. Our next question comes from Robert Jones with Insight Investments. Your line is open.
Thank you. So prior to those working capital lines, the $290 million you have now, does that include the Rabobank $60 million facility?
Yes. The answer is yes. That included $60 million Rabobank line.
And is that line drawn currently?
I'm just getting the latest information on that line that is available, the 60 million. We have used at this moment 15 million. So there's
15.
So there's 45 available.
Okay. Thank you. So yeah. So your debt picture at the end of the year, even if you've just drawn 50% to your availability, your working capital lines will be drawn 160 million, let's say. It's still, there doesn't seem to be a lot of debt reduction from the Q figure of 520 or 540 million from debt. And if your EBITDA is down at, I don't know, let's say 100 million is a round number, maybe lower, you're probably looking at sort of five and a half times leverage. Is that correct? And so 2023, I'm just trying to work out where the deleveraging is going to come from. Is it the EBITDA growth or the 100 million of EBITDA? Are you really generating any free cash flow?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, first of all, the bond matures in 2027, and that investment on the bond is tied to our new farms that we put together in Uruguay, Colombia, Chile, and Mexico, and some other farms that we put together in Peru for grapes. So,
yeah.
Most of those farms are not producing margin right now. So Uruguay has exported 10,000 metric tons, but that potential is 50,000 metric tons. Colombia has produced 3,000 metric tons. The potential is over 40,000 metric tons, and so on. So the maturity of that bond is matched with the flows of those investments. So we don't expect to pay that bond until later. Now, on the other side, we have been affected this year. The EBITDA ratio has been affected, or the EBITDA is affecting the ratio due to this exogenous impact on the logistics side and a little bit of compression on the price. Last year, EBITDA for the company was 114. And the company EBITDA prior to that has been always around or higher than $100 million. And what we have on our project basically brings much more volume and margins on the future. So that's a little bit of how the debt ratio is going to be reduced. By the end of 2023, our target is to bring that ratio down to 3.5 times. That's our target and our committed long-term ratio.
Right, and it sounds like, sorry, just to answer your question, it's going to be from EBITDA growth from 23 rather than debt reduction. What I'm just trying to get compared to that, I know what you said about the bond, but the investments haven't really produced any extra EBITDA over the last 2 to 3 years, which maybe you say that will come. And then you've got this extra 100 and 150 million of debt that's, you know, quasi permanent now. And you've got only 125 million, we can all make our assumptions of EBITDA to do it. It just seems quite elevated leverage, and this is just on that, you are going to end up, especially if you end up at the end of the year at 5.5x, there's not much room for error. I understand what you say about liquidity, et cetera, but it seems to be a lot of investments, dividend payments. You stopped talking to investors all through 2022 for some reason, refused to hold quarterly conference calls. I'm not quite sure what trust or faith we can put in management to be able to sort of reduce this.
Yeah, the dividend paid this year on April was in line with the 3.5x policy.
But the outlook was pretty grim from that. You paid it when you knew the leverage was gone. It's gone to 4.6 now, and you're saying it's going to be 5.5, if not more, at the end of the year. You invested a lot of capex in those projects in Colombia and Uruguay. That's brought in, as far as I can see, zero EBITDA in the other. In the other divisions, we just rely on Blue Breeze. There seems to be a real upscale in capital investment and debt without associated cash flow, which I find certainly that wasn't the story at the time of the bond issue.
Yeah, the bond procedures was tied to those investments that you mentioned. So, yeah, the bond is being invested on Uruguay, Colombia, and the maturity of the bond is tied to those investments.
So what EBITDA do you think you'll do for 2022? Sorry, what's your, we haven't had 3Q and we're already two and a bit months past 3Q. So you were almost coming to the end of the year and we're moving off due numbers. You must have some more efficient numbers. And your communication with the market has been pretty poor.
Yeah, before the end of the month, we are releasing our third quarter. So I will say in a couple of weeks, we are going to have our investor call and we can discuss at that time the Q3 numbers.
Okay. And you've made a commitment to do quarterly investor calls going forward?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and I'm showing no further questions in the queue. I'd like to turn the call back to management for any closing remarks.
Thank you very much for those questions, and just want to make sure that we have all the facts here towards the Q3 release. We're going to have probably in 2 or 3 weeks, the Q3 release, and we can discuss in more details the numbers there. But basically, our purpose for this call is to talk about liquidity. We feel confident about our current liquidity. We want to be transparent about the increase of cost that has shrink a little bit the EBITDA, and definitely that shrink on EBITDA has triggered the ratio to increase, but also we like to share, or we will love to share with you what is our, perspective on that looking forward. So Q3, a couple of weeks, we'll share a little bit more information, and thank you very much, everybody, for being on this call. Looking forward for the next one. Have a great weekend.
This concludes today's conference call. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.